Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Speaking about Bidvest Wits at 4:15 on the show where we combine your love for sport with your love for music. The man joining us in studio says he was listening to one of our other sports shows here, the Home Straight, on Monday night when Bidvest Wits MDC coach Dylan Shepherd was in studio. Shoaib Walters here, and he was listening to Dylan's interview talking about everything. So you and Dylan, you go way back, Shoaib?
Yeah, we do. First of all, good afternoon to all the listeners out there. Yes, we do. And I sent him a message. So if he's listening now, please respond or call me back, because I did actually try and call him. we go back. We play together as well. In Bafana setup, I think maybe 2009, 2008. And then we reunited again at Maritzburg United. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2013, 2014 season. And we traveled together actually, because we both lived in the Durban area at the time.
So, oh, I see.
We traveled together to Maritzburg. So yeah, his interview was interesting, and it was actually quite good. We see the same sentiments when it comes to development, when it comes to certain structures that we want, and kind of changes also, because also I heard you guys were talking about, looking after your money and things like that, and the big paychecks and those type of things. I had actually my opinion that I wanted to tweet.
Let us know. Well, you can tell us now, because, I mean, it's always a topic for discussion. And as I said on Monday then, it's always, for me, quite sad when we as a society laugh at footballers, young men. I mean, imagine being 24, 25. You haven't had much before in your life, and now all of a sudden you've got a huge paycheck. What would you do? And then we laugh at these guys and say, ah, he blew it or whatever. I mean, what were your thoughts on that discussion?
No, my partner and I, which is Kim here, right next to me, also in studio, we were actually just chatting about it then while we were listening. And yes, as much as we want to blame, and I see a lot of people want to have the structures for the juniors where we're going to learn, teach them about money, and we teach them about finances. At the end of the day, it's their money. So you can teach him about it, but if you're growing up for 10 years and you see, for example, Kamal Bellet in his Range Rover, you're going to say, now I want a Range Rover. But where I came to the conclusion, it's a combination of maybe 60% of the person itself, and then obviously they're not being educated. But also, most importantly, I think it's the advisors. First of all, parents. Second of all, agents. For me, in the football fraternities, agents are just there for when it's contract negotiations, and then they get their money. Why is our agents not saying that from a 10,000 rand wage, you can only afford a car of 1,500 rand per month, which is maybe a Polo, not a 5,000-6,000 rand, and then you're sitting with 3,000? Or why not make it compulsory for them to put in 3,000-4,000 rand of that 10,000 into investment, or into, why not they assisting the kids of buying properties? Because if you're earning a 25,000 rand, you can go to the bank for a bond contract, which is an investment.
So Shoaib Walters, who was advising you?
I had a good friend of mine, Rustam Simons. But also through, you, at the end of the day, you need to be negligent a little bit, because when I look at my first Golf 5 GTI out of the box, I was 24 years old. But I spoke to Rustam Simons of SimSport, and I said, you know what, I want to buy this Golf 5 GTI, it's 2007, a brand new out of the box, I'm 25, 26 years old. What do you think? He says, okay, you bought the property, okay, what are you left over? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, fine.
You can afford it.
You can afford it. So you can afford your 5,000 rand a month, and you will still be able to pay everything else, and it's comfortable. But at that same time, I remember I was at Bloemfontein Celtic, and I had a player there, which I don't obviously want to mention, but I mean, he had a Golf 6 or a Golf 5, also the brand new one. And then when you go and visit him at home, and then he's living in the township. So I'm trying to think, so how's our mentality? You know, you want to drive the fancy car, but you want to live in the township. I understand you feel comfortable there, but I mean, your car cannot be more than your house. Something that's depreciating.
There are some good examples of players who've continued to live in the township for all their lives, but have improved. Let's say he's been living at his mother's house, and he's improved the house tremendously. And then after that, he said, okay, now I'm stable, I've I've got my own house. I choose to live in the township because I want to, but I've got two properties, and now I'm ready to buy that that GTI or that BMW or whatever I want.
That for me is good examples, but I don't want to see that you. And also, I mean, through my 15 years, you come to training with a car, but then you get your players that here and there still wants to borrow money, and then you look at the car they're driving and you ask themselves, so. As much as yes, you wanted it, they don't really think about after that. And I will stress it again. Yes, it is our naivety of our players, and we maybe uneducated as well in that department. But I do believe that your advisors play a massive role. The people that are influencing your decisions are also playing the role.
Yeah,
and I think they must take responsibility themselves, whether it be your parents, whether it be your agents, or whether it be just financial advisors.
Yeah.
Yes, we know of today, yes, now everybody wants to come in and I'm a financial advisor, and then all they're selling is these investments, which don't really make money. So they're also just making money for themselves. But what I'm saying is, if you are calling yourself an agent or representative of the player, look after the player's interests, and not only, most importantly, after yours. Because remember, you are working for the player. So I'm not here to gun at agents. I'm here only to say that I see now that, for example, even that evening that you guys were talking, and then NetBank have this financial
summit. Yeah, they had it yesterday, and they had the likes of Ronan Williams, Dane Clate, and others talking about the importance of looking after your money in a short career like football.
It's understandable for us to tell you to look after it, but at the end of the day, is when you know for a fact when that 25,000 rand paycheck comes and you get that SMS, you're not going to think about, oh, what about this chat that we just, or I just heard about now, or that boring seminar that I was sitting in and, oh, I fell asleep there because I don't even understand half of what these people is talking about. That is it.
Okay, so you're saying the agents need to play a bigger role. Honest conversation here from Shoaib Walters, who joins us in studio. He's accompanied by his wife, Kim. We'll go a little bit down memory lane, sharing with us 2010 and some of those memories, but he's here as he speaks about after the game. What is he doing now after the game? And he's someone with a passion for kids. A goalkeeping academy is top of mind. And him and his wife, Kim, will tell us a little bit more about that. 4:45 on KFM 95.9. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned, because coming up after 5, The Mix. And we also have some tickets to give away if you're a sports lover. So you can stay tuned and stay close to your phone. Speaking about sport on the show where we combine your love for sport with your love for music, we've been talking to Shoaib Walters and his wife, Kim. They told us about where they met, how long they've been together, and also talked very honestly about money and football. It has been a subject for discussion this week around the country as NetBank hosted that Football and Finance Summit yesterday. What happens after football? And that's the question now we pose to the two of them. What's life been like since retiring, Shoaib?
I retired last year at Ajax Cape Town. Just lost the passion for playing. And I always said that was going to be the time that I'm going to hang it up, was when I lose the passion for playing. As you can see, over the last, 3-4 years, we've been struggling with identifying good goalkeepers and even seeing where we could pump in some resources when it comes to promoting good youngsters. Because if you look at our national team, we're sitting with Kune, 32, Keith, just over 30, Ronan Williams at 27. We've got literally nobody else that is pushing through. We had youngsters that was coming through, but what has happened to them? Jody February, Brandon Peterson. You look at the under-20 now, like you said when we spoke earlier this week. Bavuma, we've got Pule, second to... You know, they need to start playing and obviously start...
You're talking about at their clubs now, yeah.
Their clubs or even going for game time. But I mean, who's after that? Who do we have next? Like we spoke, Italian goalkeeper Donnarumma at AC Milan is 20 years old. I spoke about him when he was 18 years old. Who's our next 18-year-old that's coming through? And my partner and I, we decided to obviously... I started my goalkeeping academy in 2016, but we've looked to move to Johannesburg because it's a bigger demographic over here when it comes to goalkeeping and pushing the goalkeeping aspect. How we can identify, how can we obviously train them and promote them and look at getting more goalkeepers into the PSL, strengthening our national team. I think it's best obviously for us to have moved to Johannesburg.
Okay, so tell us about the academy. What is it called? Where do you work and how are you finding these talented young goalkeepers?
Okay, so to elaborate on what Shaib was saying, he's always felt that a goalkeeper, the training that they get, the level of training that they should get should start at a younger age. As a professional player, he only received that training when he started playing professionally. Mm-hmm. So the plan is to get these young boys in at a young age and to obviously provide them with training on an international level.
And you're also talking about the mental side of things, not just the physical training.
Yes, basically all rounded. So it's a holistic training in that sense, because with a goalkeeper, you need to have good communication skills. You have to be very confident and outspoken. And a lot of these boys, even though they're talented, they don't, the personality kind of doesn't match up with these skills. So to kind of just ensure that you combine the two. The reason why we also decided on Johannesburg is there's a bigger demographic than to Cape Town. So our plan is going forward, he's looking at going into the townships on a Sunday and just offering a goalkeeper clinic. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in goalkeeping and you feel you have the skills and it's something that you want to pursue, you know, we'll go around and let people know, so that on a Sunday, whether it be Tembisa or you can come on a Sunday, everything is free. We'll arrange your lunch, snacks, everything. So this is part of our plan, because not all goalkeepers are going to afford the academy or be able to afford the academy's prices. So
I see.
What we want to do is go in, identify goalkeepers that have the talent, and then look for funding for these goalkeepers to actually attend his academy, and there's a lot involved. It's not just you come and you attend. There's traveling. We have a boy that comes from Vereeniging
all the way to come to the Shoaib Walters Goalkeeper Academy, and you can follow them on Twitter. It's called at Academy S Walters, and there you can find out more information. And if you want to get in touch with them, he's got a nice photo up there with all sorts of youngsters, nice ones. They're all wearing their little kits, standing in the goals. You can see that he's training the goalkeepers of the future. And I guess as you speak, Kim, about the importance of training them holistically, it's somewhere where you can share, Shoaib, your personal experiences, because as a goalkeeper, it's not like being an outfield player. When you're an outfield player and you make a mistake, maybe it goes unpunished. You're a goalkeeper, you make a mistake, the whole country's watching. You said, this guy. Talk to us about that moment when you needed to summon up all your internal reserves to get over a blunder that you thought, man. And how does one do that?
Yeah, you see, that is the one of obviously the things that we will be looking at. And coming just from playing now is where I can help, you know. And they always say, you know what, as a goalkeeper, you need to be a little bit crazy. That's so true. I mean, you speak to any footballer in the whole world, and they'll always tell you that the goalkeepers are probably the craziest. But in that little bit of craziness, it's also to do with how to react after making a mistake. And you know, you if you're going to think too long about it, you're probably going to concede again or make another error.
Worst mistake you ever made and how you bounce back?
Exactly. Oh, you're asking?
I'm asking.
I remember it was Bloemfontein Celtic. We were fighting relegation and we were playing against a team from Cape Town. I remember it was Bradley August. And I got a high ball. And I went all the way to the edge of the box, and I wanted to obviously get our striker going on, and I tried to kick first time, and I kicked against him, hit his back, and it went all the way back into the net. And we were still fighting the relegation at that time, and yes, that was probably one of the worst mistakes. And also being somebody that has always thought about people, what people think of me, was always what also affected me with mistakes and stuff like that. I used to think hard and long about it. But it's one of the things that I work with my youngsters now. I have a boy 12 years old. When he can't do something and he sees other boys do it, he wants to cry. So we're already starting to drill them now about these things, mentality, your concentration, your focus, just improving on you as a person. And that is why I'm saying, and why Kim said is, I want to give the kids opportunity, a training that you would get at a professional club anywhere in the world. And now we see natural talent, we take them, and when they're 23, 24, they go to clubs, and the clubs say, no, but they still have amateur mistakes in them. You understand? And that is where I feel that we to blame also ourselves, and not only myself, and also our football fraternity in South
yes.
Africa. We are to be blamed because we're not investing. You go onto Twitter, you go onto Instagram, and you see SA footballers abroad. There's not one goalkeeper. That should be already an alert, you know, an alarm, you know.
And you look at the PSL, something that Brian Baloyi is always speaking about. He said so many foreign goalkeepers in the PSL as first choice goalkeepers. Where are the young South African keepers?
Exactly. And do we want to sit in 5 years' time and our goalkeeper that we're going to select for our national team coming from the NFD? We have three European goalkeepers in the PSL already now. I mean, we've got two, Cape Town City, we've got...
Pirates have got one.
Pirates have got the French goalkeeper. Stellenbosch has got the Dutch goalkeeper. Ajax Cape Town in the NFD has got a Dutch goalkeeper. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but I'm saying we have the resources and the talent to be equivalent to that.
Mm-hmm. So where do people get in touch with you? People will be motivated. Well, will be listening to this message and thinking, yes, 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 we need them, because we'll remember the time when Itumeleng Khune was injured, Ronan was in poor form, and he had to keep with the Spider-Man mask because they're like, we have to play with Khune. If we don't have Khune, we will lose. So people will be listening to this and saying, I want to support Shoaib in this drive of his with his academy, with his goalkeeping academy. Where do people get in touch with you and Kim?
Okay, so our Facebook, well, basically our Twitter handle, Instagram and Facebook, it's all the same, Academy Shoaib Walters. And people can obviously go and have a look at what Shoaib does. You know, he has obviously training, he's one-on-one, which is also something that is very important. His aim is to work with 3 to 4 boys at a time so that he can give them he can concentrate on them.
Yeah, more personalized attention, yes.
So the point of the academy is not to have 10, 15 boys and one coach. The point is 3 to 4 boys and to give them that type of attention. And that is what's going to make the academy stand out from the rest.
Beautiful. Guys, thank you so much for talking to us and joining us in studio. When next we meet, it will hopefully be at a football field during one of your training sessions. I'd love to come out and attend, and let's see how we can start this journey to when we say in 10 or 15 years' time, there's the Bafana Bafana goalkeeper. He'll say, I started at Shoaib's Academy way back when. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.